love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
So a couple of weeks ago, Rolando and I were chatting, and I mentioned how I wanted to do Monsters Incorporated and the new Disney Plus Monsters at Work show for the podcast. So I texted him about Monsters, and his reaction was that not only had he not seen Monsters Inc., but he had absolutely no intention of seeing it, to which I was flabbergasted and floored. I posted it on our Instagram. You might or may not have seen that. Hope you took a vote, because everyone was on my side that Monsters Inc. is worth watching. So finally, after many years, maybe even 20 years of resisting it, Rolando has finally seen Monsters Inc. And today we will find out whether or not he succumbed to the inner child in him and let his emotions get the best of him, or if he did not.
Is it really 20 years old?
It's 20 years. It came out in 2001.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Oh, or if he has a wall over his heart and, you know, his cold-heartedness is won out. So we will find out today.
You make me sound like a Grinch who would be welcomed, by the way, to the Monsters universe.
Yes, so. He would. Cute. That was cute. I like that. So, you know what? We're gonna dive in and we're going to find out. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About
unoriginality.
As mentioned in the cold open, today we are covering the original Pixar film from 2001, Monsters, Inc. I talk a little bit about the sequel, Monsters University, which is technically a prequel, and this brand new Disney Plus series that's a revival of the Monsters, Inc. property, Monsters at Work. So we're always joined also by Eddie Z, our producer.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey Eddie. And I just have a question for the both of you. You know, let's talk Pixar. How do we feel about Pixar in general?
I enjoy Pixar movies. However, when in talking in conversation with friends, it turns out I haven't seen as many Pixar movies as I guess I have.
Yeah, because you haven't seen Cars either. You feel the same way about
I'm
Cars.
I'm never going to watch Cars, its sequels, any of those. No, it's never going to happen.
Have you seen The Good Dinosaur?
No.
Have you seen Brave?
No.
Okay, yeah. So because I'm trying to think of like not Toy Story, not Incredibles, not Finding Nemo. Like everyone's seen these.
Yeah. You're going for like deep cuts of Pixar here. I have not seen the deep Pixar cuts.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Because to me, you know, there's very few Pixar films. And I feel like all of them are worth a gander. I think that they produce A+ quality. I think that the worst they've ever done was probably a B-. Like, okay. I think that their stuff is really good, which is funny because you guys saw Onward.
Yes. I actually have critiques of Onward, though.
A lot of people skipped that one.
Onward was the last movie we saw in theaters
before the pandemic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mine was Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
You did it for the podcast.
We did it
for leisure, you know?
Yeah, I almost saw Onward, and I wish I did, because it would have been a better last movie experience. But what about you, Eddie? Are you a Pixar fan, or?
Yeah, I've seen most of them. I've seen most of, like, the pretty popular ones.
Now, I would consider Monsters, Inc. to be one of the pretty popular ones. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. See? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, having nieces and nephews, too, you catch these Pixar movies more than once.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
I've seen Monsters, and I saw the prequel.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, Eddie, because there was a good chunk of time where, like, when I was, like, in college and, like, soon after college, when I just wasn't watching, like, Disney or Pixar movies. So
not even, like, Frozen or Wreck-It Ralph?
Well, Frozen, by the time Frozen came out, I was with Eddie, and I saw Frozen, actually, because Eddie wanted to see it. If I was single, I probably would not have seen that movie. Oh. And I haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I saw Frozen in theaters, but I didn't see Moana. I didn't see Zootopia. I'm very much like Disney's a hit or miss, but Pixar is always pretty much a hit for me.
Right.
So, but yeah, there was a period, a brief period in the early 2010s that I didn't see some Pixar movies either. But I recently, last year during the pandemic, watched every single Pixar film that came out in a row. And I ranked them. And like I said, nothing was less than a B minus. So that's why I stand by my statement. That's interesting
because easily I could give Finding Dory like a C.
No, I think there was some good qualities there in that. No. Like, especially like, you know, the backstory and
now
knowing
what Ellen DeGeneres is, I'm going to give it
Ellen's
a D.
Fault. That's not Pixar's fault.
Did you do like this roundabout way of just bringing Ellen up?
No. And then I can actually give you another one. Like for me, okay, you said a B minus is what I would give The Incredibles 2.
So you thought The Incredibles 2 was better than Finding Dory?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, I so disagree with that. I think The Incredibles 2 is actually one of my absolute least favorite Pixar movies.
I think Finding Dory was kind of... It meandered. We're not here to critique I'm just giving you my opinion here. I'm just saying, it's just like, I just knowing what I know, Finding Dory, you said your lowest is a B+. Like, for me, I can easily... I'm going with a C. No, I gave Dory a C.
No, me, I said a B-.
A B-, okay.
The reason why I will defend Finding Dory to be better than The Incredibles 2 and say Cars 2 is actually the same reason why I think Monsters, Inc. is so strong, is because for me, a really strong Pixar film has to have elements of comedy, lightheartedness, fun, but then it really needs to tug at you emotionally and actually say something like real that you can walk away from it being like, oh, wow, you know, that was actually really touching. You know, with Finding Dory having to say something about family and memory. Right. Uh-huh. And then growing as a person. The Incredibles 2, the first Incredibles had a little bit more something to say, but The Incredibles 2 was just fun. And even though I like just fun, that's not why I watch Pixar. And so to me, Monsters, Inc., I get all those things.
So
right?
You don't think it was about a woman saying, I can have it all, pulling a Liz Lemon? I can have family. I can be a hero. I can be everything.
I think actually it wasn't executed as well as what you're saying.
It's a little preachy, but I thought it was a good movie. In retrospect, I didn't think it was preachy when I saw it. I liked that movie.
That's interesting that you thought it was preachy. I feel like that message wasn't, in my book, well executed because I didn't walk away from it with that.
I guess you're sexist.
I think I am. So let's talk a little bit, though, about Monsters, Inc., because that is the focus here. And as Pixar as a whole, you know, I really think that, you know, they cracked the nut with this one in terms of why they're so good at what they do.
And I guess this is the point right now where I should mention I watched these basically in reverse chronological order.
Is the worst thing he could have done.
I
now
saw
that I watched the
TV
new
show
ones.
First. Then I saw Monsters University.
Oh, how?
What do you mean? Because I saw the show with you.
Yeah, but you weren't really paying attention. You said you had to
rewatch it. I watched
it.
Enough to like know what was happening. And I rewatched it, but and then I saw Monsters Incorporated last.
That's such a shame because, one, you had spoilers, right? So you knew how it was going to end.
I didn't because I already knew what the spoilers were.
He wasn't paying attention.
I was very much.
That's good.
But here's why I knew the spoilers, though. I was very much an avid reader of the Pixar theory. And in order for you to like get a full grasp of the Pixar theory...
Yeah,
You had to. It spoils the shit out of all of the Pixar movies that were out up till that point. And for everyone who doesn't know what the Pixar theory is, I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes.
Absolutely,
that goes into detail of what the Pixar theory is. But basically, the Pixar theory is just the theory that like all Pixar movies are connected, and Monsters, Inc. actually plays a very pivotal role into that theory.
It does, actually. Yeah, it's the main inspiration point for that. So it was the main inspiration point because of Boo.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, sure.
That's the tie from that movie to that. And then every other thus thing becomes part of it. So
got it. Yeah.
I would say. Anyway, so. So a little bit of history for Monsters, Inc. Pixar is a relatively new company. Toy Story was the first film in 1995. They had their second film was A Bug's Life. Third film being the sequel to the massive hit that was Toy Story, and Monsters Incorporated being only the fourth film that Pixar ever released. So this is early, them still establishing themselves as, you know, a powerhouse in the animation world.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually interesting, too, because Monsters, Inc. was nominated for the first time that Best Animated Feature was a category in the Oscars.
What else was nominated?
Jimmy Neutron and Shrek. And Shrek won.
Rightfully.
Yeah, at that time, Shrek was going to win. But in retrospect, I think Monsters should have won. But, you know, whatever.
Excuse me, what? That is an unpopular opinion. I can,
I don't think
someone,
so.
I can kind of, I can like say undoubtedly Shrek is a far superior movie.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think Shrek is really strong and I love the message in Shrek and I think Shrek's really entertaining. But I think that years from now, I'm always going to remember Monsters, Inc.
Really?
And I don't know if I'll remember Shrek. And to me, right, everyone has different definitions of what makes a good movie. I think a movie that stays with you and like a movie that you can't just get out of not only your head, but your heart is the definition of a good movie.
Shrek is in the Library of Congress as a important movie. Or what is that? What's that thing? The vault or whatever?
Yeah, you know, no, the National Library of Congress, yeah.
Yes, it's been selected as being culturally significant.
Mm.
Monsters, Inc. was not.
Just because something's culturally significant doesn't mean that it was the best choice for the best film that year.
I think a lot more people will say Shrek is a much better movie than Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, it's a more popular film. Is it the better film?
It is the better film.
I disagree with that. Whose side are you on in this argument?
Write us and let us know, guys. This is another unpopular opinion, but you said Jimmy Neutron also came out that year. I enjoyed Jimmy Neutron, and I can say I probably like Jimmy Neutron a little bit more than Monsters, Inc.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's childhood bias, though, don't you think?
No, because, well, maybe. I don't know, because my love of Shrek is not childhood bias. That is just me objectively saying, like, that is a superior film.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, I think Jimmy Neutron maybe more so, because, like, you know,
maybe Jimmy Neutron, because I might be confusing parts of it with like the TV show that I liked. So maybe,
probably, just because it's like, think about 1991, right? If you heard that Hook lost to Thelma and Louise, you're gonna kind of be heartbroken because Hook is the movie of your childhood.
Hook was nominated.
Well, that's just the. I don't think it was actually.
Hook
was pretty panned.
Yeah, I think it was like critically panned. Yeah.
Yeah. No pun intended. It was panned. anyway,
and in retrospect, those critics were wrong, right? Like,
I think they were wrong. A lot of people still don't enjoy Hook. But
how?
We're talking about every other movie. But Monsters, Inc.
We're getting sidetracked so hard this year.
Thank you, Eddie Z, for getting us back on track here.
So
just wrangle it in.
But, you know, we're talking about childhood, right? You know, which is one of the things that I think that Pixar also speaks about really importantly, because a lot of their films are made for children. But at the end of the day, they're made for everyone to enjoy. And I think that the older you are, like, well, obviously, the more those messages about purity of childhood mean so much to you, which is why I think I personally really enjoy that message, which is why I like a movie like Hook and why I like Monsters Incorporated so much. But what is Monsters Incorporated? Well, it's a parallel, you know, it's just a world. We don't know where, but it's a world that's inhabited by monsters. It takes place in the city of Monstropolis. And that city is powered by the screams of human children. So at the core of this is a facility. It's a factory called Monsters Incorporated, where skilled monsters are employed as scarers. And we follow two of them. James P. Sullivan, also known as Sully, and his best friend, Mike Wazowski. And they're the organization's top employees. But of course, they have a bitter rival who's like trailing them because they all compete in terms of the amount of scares that they get, right?
Yes, Randall.
So, yeah, Randall Boggs. So the inciting incident in this film, though, right? Because you have to go and you have to scare children, but children are toxic and you cannot bring them back into your world. You can only stay, but you can't really touch anything or bring anything back from their world into the monster world, right? Well, just so happens that pretty much a human, a little girl, a 2-year-old girl, it gets brought from the human world into the monster world and it becomes Sully's and Mike's problem. And they have to figure out how to get her safely back, not get in trouble, whilst trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes at Monsters Incorporated, right? Because there's shady business going on. There's some lying. There's some corruption. But there's a heartfelt relationship that gets built between Sully and this little girl that they name Boo. So that's pretty much the story in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
The voices, Sully is voiced by John Goodman, who
good casting,
you know,
good casting,
very good casting. You know from Coen Brothers movies and from comedies like Roseanne, and Mike Wazowski is Billy Crystal. Again, very good casting.
Interesting and casting.
I think, you know, 2001, Billy Crystal was still really big. You know, he was still hosting the Oscars and he was still like a top comedian. I feel like, you know, the next generation might not know Billy Crystal because he hasn't really done anything. And it's not like people are like, yeah, no, you've seen City Slickers. Like, people don't really watch Billy Crystal movies.
Analyze that. That was like,
people watch that?
Hell yeah, that movie's so good.
It is a funny movie. I just didn't think that.
Oh, The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, that's a good one. Yeah, Princess Bride. And when Harry met Sally.
Have fun storming the castle.
So to me, you know, yeah, it's got like this enthralling plot, you know, trying to find out what's going on between, you know, the boss, Water Moose, what's going on, like trying to have Sully and Mike get back, you know, especially when they get exiled and, you know, all that craziness. You know, Randall's a really good villain. It's really, the world building is so much fun. You know, Pixar loves to make like these worlds, you know, whether we're under the sea or we're in the world of monsters, but they're just like us, you know, and it's always very cute comedic moments that they do. But, you know, this relationship between a two-year-old girl and a monster that's completely animated somehow works and somehow tugs at your heartstrings. And like, I mean, at the end of that movie, I'm all tears because really? Obviously she cannot stay. And yeah, I mean, come on. That's like, at the end of the day, it also is weirdly enough, it's like that affection that you feel for like a pet. It's more than that, but it's like that connection that you build, you know, with this other living creature that's not of your species and that you can't even really communicate with, but like you have that bond, you know, you are able to like understand one another and that feeling that you have of protection and love that you build with them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. That's also a love that we don't talk enough about, you know, like the reason why I say pet is because I think that's the best example that a lot of people can actually relate to, mm-hmm. you know? And that you would do anything for that little creature, you know? So I think that's, yeah, to me, I remember seeing that in the theater and like crying my eyes out when I was like 12. And I remember watching it last year, 31 years old in my bedroom, still crying my eyes out. Like 20 years later, it still hit me. And I think it's actually such a beautiful, beautiful, well done storyline that, yeah, I just love it. So so I guess you didn't cry.
But no, I didn't cry.
Do you typically cry at movies? Or
I cried during Selena.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that shit.
That's it? Everything. Is that the only movie you've ever cried in?
I'm trying to think. Have I cried in other movies, Eddie?
I don't ever see you cry in movies.
Really? Maybe I cried in The Lion King.
That's a good one to cry
in. The live action one? Because it hurts so much to watch it?
I cried, yes. I did. Yeah. I was crying during that one as well, yes. No, I guess maybe The Lion King. But maybe I don't cry really much at movies. I tear up every now and then. Oh, I teared up. I teared up in Toy Story 3.
Oh, that was... You teared up? That was like a sob fest. What are you... These toys are given away by Andy, you know, and that's like us giving them away and us entering our adulthood and them accepting their death. That was so okay. All right.
Their death for sure. I started like welling up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the goodbye with Andy where I was just like, I shed a couple of tears and stuff.
Yeah, it was just like literally like that the whole time. You ever see all that with that woman who like sweats too much?
No.
No,
okay. I haven't seen
that was me. Except instead of sweating, I was crying. Did you ever see Coco? Because Coco is another one that I felt like was.
I haven't seen Coco.
Oh, you gotta see Eddie. You gotta show him Coco.
We've gotten into fights about this. Eddie has seen Coco without me, and as a result, I will never watch it.
Just watch it again.
I saw it with my mother, who wanted to see Coco.
Wow, Rolando, that's. I love that. So
I know it makes me sound like such a monster.
Well, hey, fitting for Monsters, Inc. So I've talked a lot about my feelings about this film, about my feelings about Pixar. Rolando, you know, being an adult who's seen this for the first time, please share some of your thoughts that you had while you experienced this film, albeit backwards in the whole, you know, world of monsters.
I've realized that my beef, part of the reason why I never wanted to see this movie and it resonated. I had made a hypothesis to you early on, is because I've never been able to relate to, I never liked the idea of like a monster world, right? I was right when watching all these three things, because it makes no sense to me. Why is there a company named Monsters Incorporated? That's like saying a company named Human Incorporated. Like, what is that? And also, this is actually more so about the second one, the one. Why are they, what differentiates a monster from like a little pig monster? They still call it a pig monster, so it's still a monster. So why are they allowed to, like, I don't understand. Why are we chasing this one? Why is this considered a pet or a mascot? You know what I mean? It's just like, and all the monsters look different. You know what I mean? It's not like one unified race. I don't know. I just find it weird. And the other thing, I guess, maybe my other conundrum I have in this universe, it's like, why are we so quick to try to shut down this Monsters Incorporated? Like, I don't understand, Sully. Like, it sounds like Mr. Worcestershire. What's his name? Worstbottom?
Water Moose.
It sounds like Water Moose was trying his darndest here to keep the company afloat. But did no one think about, like, well, what happens? I mean, yeah, I think it got tied up a little too neatly at the end. I wasn't a fan of that either. But what was going to be the solution here? So this is the only power plant in all of Monster Land? And so they're going to have no electricity? That's all awful. But I did like the idea of like the Loch Ness and the Abominable Snowman being like banished from Monster Land
into
our realm. I thought that was a cute little, I thought that was funny. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just like, I'm kind of, it was fine. These movies are fine. Like I thought they were enjoyable. I laughed. I found myself laughing a lot, but now that I know that Shrek came out the same year, it's no Shrek.
Okay. Shrek aside though. And all of these weird nitpickings that you're doing.
You know what, like, it is? So maybe my main, for this movie specifically, I think it got tied up too neatly at the end. Right?
Okay.
Like, I think.
I can see that.
I think the laughter, like realizing that the laughter was generating all this power while they were hinting at it, I just think it just kind of felt like almost like a Deus Ex Machina, right? Like, it's just like when they're like, what are we going to do? The power plant's going to shut down. Laughter. And then all of a sudden, at the very end, it's just like resolved almost. I'm just like, this is
because the point is the message, right? That a more powerful emotion than fear is a positive emotion like laughter.
And joy.
And joy. Yeah.
I didn't get that message because like that, they just talked literally about the laughter. They didn't talk about like the overall feeling, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I don't think they need to say it outright.
Well, yeah, they don't need to say it, but like, I don't think, I didn't get that.
You get that, Eddie?
I did.
I did.
Yeah, and because too, what I picked up watching this probably the fourth or the fifth time now, was the sense of that certain cries, or certain screams don't have the same intensity. So the scream of pure terror, like absolute helplessness, is the higher volume of energy. But the scream to you, like for your parents, doesn't indicate the same amount of energy.
Yep.
You know, so that differentiates in that. No, I really thought it was just, I don't think it was a cop-out. I thought it was very clever to kind of realize that all this time, there would not have been any problem. They would have realized that that it is the stimulating laughter, bringing about joy that produces laughter, would have gave him the ultimate power here, or is the ultimate power.
Yeah. And I think that people, it's also about like, you know, we over prioritize things like fear. Like we almost put fear on a pedestal and we undermine things like joy, and
fear
positivity.
Is a primal force. Like fear is like absolutely innate. Fear is absolutely necessary, right?
Yeah, so. But also like laughter, you know, it's like medicine. It makes people feel better. You know, it's almost like a cure to when you're sad and stuff.
Calm
like it's
down
so
there,
important.
Patch Adams.
And look at you. Like
you don't accept it because you're so negative.
Like Scrooge McDuck.
I'm Scrooge McDuck? What did you? How so?
I don't know. You're just like, ah. No, I think, laughter.
I think you're just talking about Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge McDuck just like money, which I guess is true.
You know, also, it's Disney, like, so. But you know, it's interesting because did you ever see Inside Out?
Yes, I actually like that one a lot.
So that's actually by the same filmmaker, right? Pete Docter. Mm-hmm. Pete Docter did Monsters, Inc. He did Up. He did Inside Out. And that film...
2 out of 3. Good for him.
Right? That film actually has almost a similar message as Monsters, Inc., but in two different emotions, right? Where joy is so important and nobody ever wants to feel sad, but nobody... Like, we almost undermine how important sadness is, right? And what sadness can bring out in us and what it can make us realize and then where we go from there, right? And that was such, like, a beautiful moment when we... Not only did Joy realize, but even the audience realized, oh yeah, no, sadness is such an important emotion to feel, you know? So I think that this filmmaker in particular, you know, with all of his overly emotional movies that he's done for Pixar, likes to make people realize how important it is to feel, right? Because a lot of children films actually don't prioritize emotions like that mm-hmm. at the forefront of the story, almost make it important to the plot. And I love just like what it's saying overall, you know, where like actually laughter is more powerful than fear.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think it just resolved the crisis at hand too quickly.
Well, you know what? I accept that. I accept that.
But I think because because it's a movie at the end of the day, you need to kind of wrap it up. You know, not that we're ready yet, but what you see at the end of the first movie of Monsters, Inc., that happened later on. That didn't happen the next day. That happened much later on. And that gets filled in by what we see now in the show.
Yeah.
Monsters at Work. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the future.
A flash
we got
forward.
A glimpse in the of the future. But also, we have to understand, too, this is a paradigm shift that the whole culture now has to take. Be identified as something scary, which was so important because we see that in Monsters University. You know, you have to have that look. There's a certain privilege by having that scary look, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then now that has to change. And it's like those that were underdogs, those that were the cute ones, the cute monsters, now kind of have an advantage here.
Yep.
You know, tables have changed.
Absolutely. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's interesting, too, because Monsters University is the prequel where Mike and Sully met and they weren't friends at first, but then they become friends and all this stuff. You know, both films are also kind of about things aren't what they appear to seem and that you actually have to you have to dig deeper, right? Like in the instance of human beings and how Sully was, you know, and he was just like kind of work oriented and, you know, did what he was told and believed what he was told. And then he actually built this relationship with someone he was told was toxic mm-hmm. and fell, you know, in love and realized the real love that could be there. And then the friendship that blossomed between two opposites and like, you know, society says they're not supposed to be friends and all this stuff, you know? So there's always these really beautiful messages attached with these properties, I think. And I see that also kind of being the theme in this new piece, Monsters at Work, with the main character and, you know, the division that he's in. But it's always just kind of like about, you know, don't be judgmental, you know, and like open up your heart to new things and new experiences, which I think at the end of the day, you know, there's just like so much you could take away from Monsters, Inc. And also, you know, it's really funny and really entertaining.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I agree on that.
I do think that I see what your point is at the end where like, you know, there was a plot and then all of a sudden now we cut, you know, to the future and we see how everything got and we didn't really see any of how that logistically worked out or how any of that made sense. But at the end of the day, too, like, did we need to see how any of that logistically worked out? Like now we know that, you know, they're fine and that they're making kids laugh. Like,
and
you
I'm
know.
Kind of being and I will attest it. I'm being harsh on this movie just because the ending was too neatly wrapped up. Look, was it sad seeing Sully say goodbye to Boo? I think the saddest moment kind of came when Boo opened up the door saying kitty or Boo. And mm-hmm. like it didn't go anywhere. So that was sad. I kind of wish that when Mike opened the door one last time at the end, I kind of wish that the room was either empty or that she's like an adult, like a grown up. Like a teenager. feel like that might have been a little bit of a stronger ending, right? Because passage of time, people change, you know. And that could have set up for a better sequel.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, hang on, not better. Well, it's a prequel to the next one, but yeah, look, it was an enjoyable film. I will say this. I actually enjoyed Monsters University a little bit more.
Yeah, so Monsters University is not as emotional as Monsters, Inc. And I feel like Monsters University was just Pixar's version of like a, you know, 80s high school movie. Well, 80s college movie.
80s, yeah, 80s college. Like.
Yeah, where it's just like a bunch of, you know, boys and their frats competing with one another, which is fun,
so,
you know.
Orlando was very surprised of the whole sorority fraternity elements that this movie had. He was not expecting that.
Was not at all.
Did you enjoy that part? Since, you know, if you didn't know, Rolando was in a fraternity, so.
Yes. Actually, I actually enjoyed that stuff. I thought it was funny. Especially specifically for the fraternity that they, that Uzma Mu, I think that was what their name was.
The okay?
The okay. Oh, Uzma, yeah, Kappa.
Uzma Kappa, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because. There was a scene where they're getting initiated and the bomb is coming down with the laundry.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So I was telling Eddie, I had to make him pause. I'm just like, oh my God, this is so funny, because when I joined the fraternity that I chose to join, which was Tau Kappa Epsilon, they didn't have a frat house, right? So, which makes me wonder, like, why fucking even bother pledging them, right? I just like the guys. So I was just like, yeah, all right. And I needed something to do my freshman year. But they didn't have a frat house. So it ended up having to be where, like, some of the rituals and some of the hazing would go on in the basements of the brothers' parents' house. And this one incident where we're getting hazed in the basement, the mom comes down either to do laundry or something, or she wants to see what's happening, and she has a freak out. And she's like, what are you doing in my basement? Oh, my God, this is a mess. And that scene reminded me of like the hilarity of kind of being in kind of that underdog fraternity, because I was truly, at the time when I joined the fraternity, it was kind of the underdog fraternity.
Oh, and wow.
That's part of the reason why me and my friend joined it, was because like we saw, it's just like, all right, cool. We could be the big fish in this small pond and like either help it build up to something or not really have any standards to have to like live up to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and we chose to try to make it thrive, and so it did. But, you know,
that's comes adorable. With its
own set of drama. But no, I thought the movie, and the whole idea of like Greek Week, because that was an actual thing in our college, like that all resonated. So, yeah, I enjoyed Monsters University more so than I did the other one.
Yeah.
I also think that the design of the dean was probably the strongest character design I'd seen in any of these movies.
Yeah, she was scary.
And TV show. She was. That was, I mean, it's like a cockroach dragon. Like, it's just like, wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that is.
And creepy. Yeah.
And if I saw that, I'd be effective. Horrified. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that kind of stuff. But.
And it was cute seeing, you know, why Mike and Sully work so well together and what, you know, they both bring to the table. And that whole scene where they scare the shit out of those camp counselors was really effective, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like break the door and like all these other things because they make, you know, they scare the
so
the
much power. Yeah.
But it's interesting, too, because, you know, Monsters, Inc., I remember watching this film and being like, well, Monsters, Inc. was about them disbanding the scare tactics. So now we're kind of going back in time and like prioritizing fear again. But I guess it was also less about that aspect and more about, you know, these two guys, like Mike trying to accept something about himself and then Sully, you know, trying to not be such a shithead.
Right.
And build their friendship and whatnot.
Continuity error. I noticed, since I saw these in reverse, is a major glaring error.
One inconsistency.
Let's just point them all out.
In Monsters Incorporated, Sully and Mike are walking to work, and they're like, and Mike is just like, you've been jealous of my good looks since fourth grade. And I was just like, what? I thought they met in college. I see now that Pixar is lying to me. So thank you, Pixar. I hope you're glad making that quick buck off of that prequel.
You know what? Honestly, though, when I watch like sitcoms and then like from one episode to the next, there's like an error in like that world's continuity. I'm like, they don't have someone they could pay to like watch old episodes just to make sure the story is the same.
They're supposed to have a series Bible. That's supposed to be, that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
You know who had a very meticulous series Bible?
Friends.
Frasier.
Frasier.
Buffy might have also actually, yeah, because like definitely. He was very meticulous about the actual story arcs, but Frasier had a very, very meticulous series Bible, according to the creators, because like they had all these running jokes about Maris.
Yes.
And
yes.
as a result, yeah. like they wanted to yes. keep that continuity. So they wanted to make sure that everything they said would get referenced into later episodes and stuff, you know?
Nice. Very smart. Yeah. Well, they should do that for movies too, especially when you plan on having more than one, but maybe they don't.
Maybe not for series movies, I suppose. Yeah, but
I will say that Monsters University has one of my favorite jokes in any Pixar movie, where I think they're gonna like try and break into a party or something, and they got driven by the one character's mom, and she's like, "I'll just be here listening to my tunes,"
and it's just hard metal. It's like death metal. Yeah. That is a good gag.
That's my humor right there. Like, set me up for one thing and then do a complete reversal of my expectations, and yeah. I'm yours.
Yeah, so, yeah. That was yeah, a good one.
It's one of my favorite gags. But yeah, and I saw that one in theaters too, because I was such a Monsters fan that even though I didn't see like any of the other sequels, I saw that one in theaters, and I enjoyed Monsters U. You know, I'm not a fan so much of the, like, I like the ones that do everything that makes me laugh. You know, it's fun and it tugs at my heartstrings. And this one didn't really tug at my heartstrings that much, but it, you know, wasn't its job to do that. You know, it was more of a fun movie. And
they dropped out of school, though. What a bad message.
Well, they were kicked out of school. They were kicked out once. But, okay, so...
Once is all it takes.
Like, they were kicked out of that school.
They couldn't go to Fear Tech?
Well, I think what I loved about Monsters U was really Mike's dedication to his dream. Like, the goal to be a scarer. And to be a scarer at Monsters, Inc. I mean, this... Like, the moment, like, he had that experience as a little kid at the Monsters, Inc. tour and, like, wanting this now and dedicating and working real hard to get there. And you could see every wall was just there to show how much he really wanted this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And, yeah. And seeing that dedication, while Sully had it easy because he was... This is a
he's a legacy.
He's a legacy, yeah. You know? But here is someone that worked for every moment, even when he found out that it was rigged and he didn't get the score at the end that should have won when they won, feeling like you're cheapening my dream.
You know? Yeah.
You're cheapening my dream. And then realize, hey, you know, if my dream is to work at Monsters, Inc., well, I'm going to make it happen. Join Absolutely. The mailroom. Join the mailroom and work your way up.
Which reminds me, thank you for bringing that up, Eddie. Why is Monsters, Inc. also have a Monsters University?
I don't know if the two are necessarily
They're the same
related.
Logo.
Oh, well, I don't... Why are you nitpicking?
I'm not. I'm just saying, it's just like, this is what I mean. This is my beef with like worlds like this. This is kind of a little... I enjoyed Onward, I did. But... Sometimes I did have problems with like trying to let go into this fantasy universe.
Yeah, but you know, that's so funny because the same filmmaker of Monsters University made Onward, so maybe he's just like not that good at those.
No,
things.
This is a problem with Monsters Universe, not just this one movie.
Oh, I thought you were comparing it to Onward. That it also
no.
Had
I'm just saying
issue.
Like the Monsters Universe, like the idea of Monsters Universe, like a whole world of monsters. Yeah. Same thing, you know. It's just mm-hmm. like okay, but why do they have the same problems as us lowly humans?
I just want to say one thing about the school thing. Okay, the movie actually more so said that hard work pays off and dedication, like Eddie said, and you know that's not always found sometimes in school. Sometimes people don't. Yeah. Go to school and that's fine. And also they cheated and they broke a lot of rules and they should have been kicked out. That's actually a better message, because if this film taught me that, hey, you can cheat and all this stuff, but you know, we love you anyway, so we're going to let you graduate. That's the wrong message.
Oh,
so
that's an interesting read, which I don't disagree with actually now in retrospect. Now that you make that argument, I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah.
They should have got kicked out. So I'm totally okay with that.
All right.
So you know, we have these two properties. I feel like every 10 years we get a new Monsters property.
Too
Monsters
many.
Inc. Monsters.
They're great. I love more.
As long as Billy Crystal and John Goodman are alive,
this,
man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love this world building that they provide.
Me too. And I actually, so this is great too, because, you know, for the last 20 years, Pixar has only really been able to exist in, you know, its long films, its short films that they put in front of the features, and then occasional like little cartoons that they make either as specials or something. With Disney Plus, we're now going to get so much more world building into the world of Pixar.
Yeah, that's because Disney Plus, Mickey Mouse is straight up whipping them. It's just like, I don't care if you guys don't feel like the creative juices are flowing. You're going to give me this series that we demand, and you're going to give it to me now. I guarantee you that Disney is working on a little Army Men TV series for Disney Plus.
Yeah, probably. Well, they had that whole little, you know, Ask Forky a Question series.
Who?
They had some Forky from Toy Story 4.
Oh. Oh, shit.
I mean, I actually enjoyed...
I haven't seen Toy Story 4, so...
Honestly, like, it's okay. I mean, you should watch it just to complete it, but I thought that they should have stopped at 3. But I enjoy the character of Forky, and I think those videos are actually really hilarious.
Okay.
And my niece loves it, and she quotes it, and it's actually hilarious.
I'm trying to think of what other property they're going to milk. They could easily
Cars.
Do...
Cars...
God, I hope not. They could easily do a Incredibles like Disney Plus show.
Yeah, they easily could. You know?
Easily.
And honestly, like, I love these movies, and you know, I mean, I think any addition that they do to it will probably be harmless enough. So.
Well, now I'm gonna come at you here before we get into this. It's just like
I enjoy
Marvel movies. And yeah, I get rolled eyes from you when I talk about my love of Marvel movies, how I will watch a Marvel movie or most TV shows. I'm sorry, guys. Here we go. Well, I'm saying it right now. Captain, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I don't care for it.
I roll my eyes at like Marvel in general, not how you feel about it, first of all.
Okay,
let's clarify that. I guess, yeah, that's just our preference. I prefer Pixar and you prefer Marvel. I just can't get that same emotional, you know,
but we all
tugging
prefer
of my heart.
Disney.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, our money is going to Disney.
So,
Mickey Mouse overlord is getting his pay.
Disney brings us together, guys.
Yes. I think my thing with Marvel is more so how it's kind of like all that exists is, you know, Disney properties. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what if I don't like superheroes? Where do I go?
Star Wars.
So it's interesting because your gripe with the ending of Monsters, Inc. is somewhat addressed in this new Disney Plus show, Monsters at Work, right?
Correct, yes. And as someone who has seen them in reverse order, didn't know that the gripe I would have so much. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't aware that this show was addressing a gripe that I would eventually have.
Yeah, maybe enough people complained, and then they're like, you know what? We got to make a show about it to address
these
people. Yeah,
because it's just like, you know what? We did wrap this up too neatly, so we need to like kind of expand upon this story.
So,
but you know,
Oh,
but I was going to say, but then it suffers the same problems that like prequels suffer, which
well,
is
absolutely.
Like, we know what the end result is going to be, so that's
kind
of the problem.
Technically.
Well, Cruella, for example, it kind of had that fate. It's just like, well, we know she's going to be a monster at the end.
Well, we may know the destination, but sometimes we're just going for the ride.
Yeah,
that's fair.
You know? That's true.
And
hey,
that's the journey. The journey there. It's like, what was the journey like getting to this point?
And that's what Pixar's so good at. Finding Nemo. Everyone knows that he's going to find Nemo, right?
That's not true.
But
I did, yeah.
I mean, I mean,
if it's a Pixar, if it's an animated film for children, they're going to find Nemo. But how do they find Nemo? What does he have to go through? What does he have to learn? That's what's important. And at the end of the day, we all know we're going to die, but how do we spend our lives, right?
Fair. All right, you got me there.
Getting deep with this shit. So I think that you should actually tell us a little bit about Monsters Work. Tell the audience what Monsters Work is.
All right, so Monsters at Work follows Ben Feldman. He's the voice actor. If you don't know who he is, he's the lead from... Superstore, that's how I know him. Yeah.
His character's name is Tyler Tuskman.
Thank you, Tuskman. Yeah, so Tuskman has gotten accepted. He's gone from Scare University, the Scare School at the Monsters University, to get a job at Monsters, Inc. Again, my question here being is just like, I would assume if you were go to Monsters University, it's an automatic in into Monsters Incorporated, whatever. let me have the case.
Well, not always as a scarer.
Right. He starts school. He starts working. His first day at Monsters, Inc. is the first day that Monsters Incorporated is trying to transition over into laughter.
Yes.
As power. And he is a fish out of water because he's one of the top scarers, and that's what he was studying. And he's kind of, you know, as what happens with all corporations, they're kind of going through the motions, so he gets lost in it. So they're trying to find a place for him. He already got accepted, and just like, all right, we're going to throw you in with these Swifties. Swifties?
Myths.
Myths. Thank you. The yes, myths. Very like good. The misfits. Thank you. Yeah, which is like the technical department, right? Mm-hmm. And because he worked at because his parents hardware owned a hardware store. And yes. So he doesn't think that maybe Monsters, Inc. isn't really bright for him until Sully, who, by the way, is now the CEO of the company, right?
Yeah.
Tells him, it's just like, oh no, him and Mike like kind of like assure him, like, you'll get there, like this is all a transition from all of us, and just give it a chance. And so he decided, you know what, fine, maybe there is a chance for me, and he's gonna attend. I find this funny because Mike is funny. Gonna attend Mike's like comedy classes, and yeah. Thank God Pixar is blessing us with, like, I hope at the end of each episode we get to see some of those like courses, because they are funny.
Yes. Yeah, Billy Crystal still got it. You know, it's interesting.
Well, the
too,
writer
because,
still got it. He has great delivery, though.
Yes, he does have good delivery. Honestly, it's interesting because when you look at this show, I see kind of like a really interesting work message being presented really quickly, which is that work, you always have to be adapting and, you know, willing to change, because the work environment is always going to change. And it is kind of saying something about, you know, like how you have to embrace change in life, especially in work, you know, or else you're just going to get lost in the tide and you're going to fall behind and you're going to get overwhelmed and all this stuff. So it's such an interesting thing that for me to take, at least in terms of how I approach work and how I think about work, you know, I'm presented with that in the first episode. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, like you have like in your work environment, you have to be like a shark. You guys have to be constantly moving, constantly changing, or else you're going to die.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
But I also saw another message, just like Pixar, you know, it's given me all these different things to pick up on, or at least this thing that it was going for, you know, which he's definitely like the cool kid who gets stuck with the nerds and the weirdos and feeling like, I don't belong here with these people. He's going to open up their heart to them. Just like in everything else, he's going to learn to love them and to not judge them.
Right. It's kind of the premise of the IT squad.
The IT crowd?
IT crowd, yeah, that's like, I mean, this is basically a workplace comedy. That's what this is.
Yeah.
For Disney. And in IT crowd, it was the same issues, right? Where this woman gets a job she wasn't qualified for, right? Or was she qualified for? I don't remember now.
No, I mean, she lied on her resume.
She lied on her resume, and now she ends up working in this crowd full of, yeah, like, these losers, and no, she's trying to make them better.
She's trying to get to... She ends up in the basement while she wants to get to the higher floors.
Correct. Yeah.
She's always trying to escape to the higher floors.
And, yeah, I mean, and that's more or less what's happening here, where he's starting from the bottom. He's going to work his way to the top because he doesn't want to be a part of the myths. But once he sees that there's a chance for growth, he decides he's going to stick it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, you're giving this show a lot more depth than I think it needs, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, this is just a workplace comedy for kids. That's all it is. Like, this is what it is.
I agree. I do think that it's like, oh, The Office and all these shows are, mm-hmm, you know, so successful. Why don't we
Superstore,
make one of our own?
Starring Ben Feldman, you know?
Yeah, but that
Which
doesn't
is why
mean...
He's good casting on that one, to be honest.
But that doesn't mean that there's not other stuff to see from it. And I don't think I saw that much more that wasn't already there.
No, I'm just saying, it's just, I don't know. I just thought it was like, you know, it's not. Yeah, like what you were saying, it's just like, you know, it's about being who you are and, like, you know, the loser crowd.
Well, that's
like,
what it's going to become. It's not there,
it's
yet.
Just like, I mean, it sounds like any kid's show. You know?
Well, yeah, I feel like also kid shows usually will also have a message to it and something you have to take from it more so
good
than adult
shows
will. Yeah. I mean, like some adult shows do, like South Park, you know, tells you at the end, well, I learned something today and what you're supposed to take away from them and stuff. So like, yeah, I think that good shows have that. So, you know, this is a good show. I'm going to say. Did I 100% love it? No. It made me laugh. I thought that the Mindy Kaling character, Val, actually was pretty funny in the first episode.
I forgot Mindy Kaling. Yeah, Mindy Kaling is this.
Yeah, and that was just really awkward and pretty funny. And Mike Wazowski.
She's just a stream. She's in every streaming property right now has had a Mindy Kaling appearance somehow.
Yes.
Every streaming.
She's everywhere. Player.
Netflix.
But I mean, I think that, you know, it's going somewhere. I think it has something to say. You know, it's only two episodes, right? We're covering this pretty early, so we don't have too much to go on, but I see the potential. I see where it's heading. And I actually think that, you know, I might watch the rest of it. I think that's perfectly fine, you know, and I am actually glad that there's something like this for kids to get, or people who have never seen the Munsters property before, to get into and to be encouraged to see the other ones and watch those, because those movies are, especially the first one, pretty great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I found myself enjoying the show just because I tend to gravitate towards workplace comedies, right?
Yeah, after the loss, they're relatable.
But I think this is the thing, right? Like, you see, comedy kind of took a turn after 9/11. And this is going to get... Sorry, guys. Just bear with me for a little bit here. But after 9/11, there was like a pivotal shift in the way sitcoms were written. And, you know, they tried to stay away from New York City, right? Friends, like the Friends type of trope, right? Because of 9/11. So a lot of shows would end up getting like put in different cities and stuff. And part of the other thing that happened was after Friends ended, that whole idea of like a group of friends just didn't resonate as much with people, right? I think part of it was because there was just something, there's like a magic about New York City and like a group of friends that like we'd seen so much on TV, and it just wasn't hitting in other cities as well. So that's where a lot of sitcoms pivot towards workplace comedies, because that's different from even family comedies. A family comedy, you're stuck. These are the people you're stuck with, are your family. Friends, these are the people that you have chosen to put yourself around. But a workplace comedy, the reason so much of America has really gravitated towards situational comedies about workplace comedies is because you have no choice as to who you're sitting next to, right? You're stuck with whoever has that job, and you have no say in the matter unless you're a boss or something, right? And that's the appeal of the workplace comedy. And that's what we're seeing here. Tuskman does not like these losers at the MIFT. But yeah. And I don't disagree with him. I think they are kind of losers. But these are the people that he has been forced to work with, and he's going to make the best he can out of it. So that's, you know, basic workplace comedy 101.
Yeah, for sure. And which is also why I can't fall in love with it, because you usually have someone who just like rolls their eyes at everyone else to be like the person that pulls in the audience, right? For like The Office, it's Jim. And I can't fucking stand Jim. I think he's a bad employee and he's an asshole. So Tyler kind of has a lot of qualities that I don't necessarily like in a main character. But that's also because he's based off of that type of character that's in these workplace comedies. I'm sure there's one in Parks and Rec. I've never watched it, but I'm sure there's one.
Tom, I guess, would probably... Nah, I don't know. Parks and Rec might be the exception to that one. I don't think they have like kind of that straight man. Maybe Anne? Maybe? But she's weird in her own sense.
Yeah. Well, whatever. So the Tyler Tuskman character is not someone that I'm in love with. I feel like he's a little complainy too. But maybe that's also just the way Ben Feldman acts him. Well, I don't know.
But I think that's the idea.
I think that's
a general idea. I mean, you come from Monsters University with the top marks. You're literally handpicked.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything you thought that you were like, gonna be smooth sailing because I look like a monster. I look like a scary monster, and I got top marks, and I'm gonna do this. And then all of a sudden, you're in your entry level job, and you're like, wait a minute, this is not what I went to school with and spend all that money for, just to be here.
Yeah. His family scrimped and saved to get him there. I have a question. Yeah.
I just wish it read more as funny than complainy, I guess, but.
I think he's complaining.
Personal preference. Yeah.
I think he's complaining. I definitely think I kind of like, I mean, I can identify with that character I've been in a position where it's like, you have to take this job because you need money, you know, or you want to get into the company. And this is what was like available. And you took this job and it's like, so it's like figuring out. But the interesting thing is how very opposite it is from the Mike character is that Mike and Sully said, we're going to start at the lowest level because that's the way we're going to put our foot in and we're going to work hard and we're going to be the best at everything we do so we can get to the floor, to the scare floor, you know? And here he's kind of a little, Tyler's kind of like a little whiny about it right now because it's not coming easy.
Yep. Yeah. I actually enjoy all the weirdos way more, you know? Like, I really like the Duncan character who's convinced that Tyler's there to, like, take his job from him.
Oh, he's good. He's a very good Schrute. Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. I think the one that Henry Winkler plays, Fritz, you know, and like his creepiness and the lack of boundaries that he has. He's like
the friendly guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, the Mindy Kaling, you know.
I miss bread pudding.
Oh, bread pudding.
No, not bread pudding.
Bread pudding was
banana bread. Banana bread.
But yeah, right, banana bread. Yeah.
Banana bread. That's it.
Right?
It's
yeah.
Bread.
Yeah. 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 What was going to be your question, Rolando?
Oh, what happens now to Monsters University? If it has scare school, like, what are these people scaring for now? For fun? Like,
well, now they're going to have to be jokesters.
Well, hang on. Doesn't that mean, technically speaking, if this is a land where we follow humans and stuff, and I'm assuming because it's Disney, it's a capitalist society, does that mean that, like, does the show have the opportunity to introduce another power plant that decides we're going to still run off of fear? We're going to be the old ways. And basically that becomes like your conservative right. And Sully and Mike have
digging
become your
so
liberal
much into this
left.
World.
you know, that's what I want to see.
I know. But the interesting thing is like, why would you continue to invest in a dying technique or a dying market that doesn't give you as much revenue as, you know, like this will?
Because conservatives want to continue investing in coal. I just feel like right here, right now, I'm giving Disney the ample space here to like get a little political, get a little deeper here than just emotions.
I'd rather they get gay before they get political, and that's just me. But I guess that's the same
technically,
thing.
Technically, it is. Yeah, like if you ask a Republican, it's the same thing. Once you go gay, you're a liberal.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So,
that's a good question. So yeah, so did you like this? Did you think it was needed?
You're asking me? Do I think it was? I don't think it was needed.
Yeah, I think it's enjoyable. I think it's good. I don't think it's needed.
I mean, it forced me to have to watch the Monsters movie, which I probably never would have done.
So in that way, it was needed, for
no,
sure.
Still.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. Your life is better from watching it. Yeah.
It's a blessing.
So I think that the Monsters Incorporated original film, you know, it's such a beautiful film, and it's definitely one that I think that I would be more willing to, you know, if I ever had a child, want them to watch. You know, as opposed to some other Disney films that I think are questionable and shouldn't be watched until that child is way older.
At that point, would they even want to watch a Disney movie?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe not. Or at least make sure I have a conversation with them so that they don't just like take what they saw and like internalize that.
That's fair. That's probably the smarter thing to do.
Yeah. But still, you know, you can't. I mean, children will internalize things and it happens. Anyway, I like the idea of reviving the property. I like the idea of, you know, more people being introduced to it and it opening up and stuff. But I also feel like, you know, Monsters, Inc., for those of us who really enjoy this film, you know, it's pretty alive in our hearts. Like, a lot of us have fondness for it and whatnot. So this wasn't necessarily something that needed to bring old fans in. And hopefully it will be successful enough that it brings in new fans. But regardless of that, absolutely, it wasn't needed. And if I wanted something, right, wanted, not needed, I would have liked it to be probably more focused on Mike and Sully, because those were the same characters from the first two films, and now they're side characters.
Well, Disney Plus can't afford that paycheck.
Yeah, so maybe I wanted a movie.
They can't be stars. Like, they have to be special guests.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the only thing that's kind of like a bummer. Because it's also like, you know, well, why are people interested in the property so much? It's also because of the characters, right? And their dynamics. And you're kind of taking that out here. And you're introducing us to new characters and new dynamics that we have to get used to, which is fine. But, you know, audiences, they come back because they like certain things, and it's typically they like characters and they like the characters and their dynamics to stay the same. I think we talked about this.
We have, and I was going to say, it's just like, I don't know. I'm okay with,
but you're new to this. You just saw this.
I am new to this, but I'm also not someone who, maybe that's why I'm like more forgiving on this TV show. Like, yeah, I don't think it's needed, but it's just like, it is expanding the universe. And sometimes I think that's a better use of kind of rehashing these properties, is like expanding it, not just focusing on like the main characters, which is actually
interesting.
I was watching this other show that from Disney that like Eddie started having on, which was like Star Wars Bad Batch, and similar to The Mandalorian, right? These are Star Wars, but they're kind of, for the most part, outside of the main storyline, right? So it's exploring the universe, the potential of the universe, without being part of the main narrative, right? And I think those offer me more, because it's just like, it's giving me that feel that I need.
Okay.
But it's giving me something new.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's why, would I have watched, I mean, I actually do, I do like Mike and Sully. I do. But, you know, would I watch a whole TV show about them? Probably not, to be honest.
And I guess I don't, to me, it's more so the characters instead of the world. I don't have as many nitpicking, you know, qualities about the world. Like, I accept the world kind of as is presented to me. And I like that I'm being introduced to more aspects of it and that I was in the films. But I also liked that I liked that it was through the lens of Sully and Mike. So, but I do think that this show was needed, because it made your major gripe with the original film obsolete. And that
which
was needed.
Which is fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie, you'd like shows that explore the universes more so than like just the rehashing the main characters, right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan. So I'm more like, I love these kind of things because you get to come back to that world and see different aspects of it too. And see how very similar or different.
Yeah.
It's portrayed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's I guess where I stand. So yeah. But anyway, long short of it is Monsters, Inc. is fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've been covering a lot of like things from our childhood this year, you know. Cruella, Rugrats, iCarly, Monsters, iCarly. Inc.
Yeah.
Well,
you
I mean,
guys,
we watched it when we were younger. We didn't watch
you
it
guys
as adults.
Love that shit, our listeners.
Yes, you did. You guys did. Yeah. Yeah. Our listeners. But did you love this shit? Let us know.
Let us know.
Did you like that?
I like it. That was good. That was good. Let us know, guys. Email us on our email address, which is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals, Instagram handle, remakesrebootsrevivals. And what else? Be sure to check out all our episodes available at www.remakesrebootsrevivals.com. And guys, you know, do us a solid here. Rate and review our show on Apple iTunes. It helps other listeners find us. And you know what? We love reading those 5-star reviews you guys give us. So if you haven't, do it. If you have, well, tell a friend to do it.
Seriously, yeah. And spread the good word and leave us a voicemail if you want to have your voice heard. Leave us a voicemail at 862-248-2326. Once more.
862-248-2326. All right. And
well, I guess it's time to shut that door.
Yes. I see. All right. Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's all we got, right?
All right. So it is. All right. Well, until next time.
Stay an original.